Finally, I'll always just go ahead and start with just a moment of just meditation, reflection, and just devotion to God. And yeah, I'll pray this in just a minute. We want to know you more. Won't you just show us, Lord, who you are. Show us, Lord, your life. Show us, Lord, your will. Show us, Lord, your hand. Show us, God, your glory. I pray, Lord, that everything else in our lives, that everything else we'd be able just to crumble away, Lord, that's not about bringing ourselves to you. And as we gather, I pray that you continue to build our church together, Lord, that we might be one voice, Lord, that wants to glorify you, that wants to see you, Lord. We're here, Lord, to meet with you, so won't you, Lord, come and meet with us, Lord? Won't you touch us in the ways, Lord, that you want us to be touched, that we might continue, Lord, to be your light, that we might continue to be the blessings that you want us, Lord, to be to others, and that we might be, Lord, a people loved by you, coming, Lord, to worship you. Just thank you so much, Lord, for your goodness and your grace, Lord, that follows us, and I pray, Lord, that we'd be able just to, worship you with all that we have today. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, okay? Amen. Feel free to go to the back with us as we begin our worship. Thank you.
Sorry, Lord, for this. Cloudy out there, but we need that rain, and so So good to see you. I just want to thank everybody that came out for Easter service. It was really good. I think we had a lot of people in the gym, over 100 people. I hope everybody's safe. We didn't catch any COVID. But just experience that personally meant a lot to me. And hopefully after we all get vaccinated, that we can freely be able to worship God in the sanctuary together. I want to thank Teacher Eddie and the youth group and everyone that kind of organized worshiping together. Just one quick announcement, our college group, next Sunday we'll have a picnic. Next Sunday, right? Next Sunday picnic. So if you're in college, the detail will be in your the Instagram, Facebook, all the stuff that you guys do, right? So check it out. And there's going to be a special kind of like a goodie bag gift.
Grad students too.
All right. Grad students too. Is there an age limit? No, 48 is the age. Yes, come out, and I would love to spend some time with our college students and young people. So if you are part of that group, come out next Sunday and encourage others to come as well. All right. If you have your Bibles with you, let's turn to Revelation chapter 4, verse 1 through 11. Revelation chapter 4, verse 1 through 11. God laid on my heart to preach about worship. And today our praise team kind of led us in those songs. Matt Redman, A Heart of Worship, great song about where we need to focus on God rather than anything else, right, even the music. And the next couple of Sundays we are going to talk about and share together the message concerning our worship. I know you just got comfortable, but if you could rise again out of the respect of God's word, Revelation chapter 4, verse 1 through 11. A little bit lengthy, but let's read together. Revelation chapter 4, 1 through 11. After this, I looked, and behold, the door stand open in heaven. And the first voice which I had heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, "Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this." And once I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne stood in heaven, with one seated on the throne. And he was set there at the appearance of jasper and carnelian. And around the throne was a rainbow that had the appearance of an emerald. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and sitting on the thrones were 24 elders, clothed in white garments with golden crowns on their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning and rumbling, pearls of thunder, and before the throne were burning seven torches of fire, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne there was, as it were, a sea of glass like crystal. And around the throne, on each side of the throne, are four living creatures, full of eyes in front and behind. The first living creature looked like the second living creature like an ox, the third living creature with the face of a man, and the fourth living creature like an eagle in flight. And the four living creatures, each of them with six wings, are full of eyes all around and within. And day and night they never cease to say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." And whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who is sitting on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fell down before him who is sitting on the throne and worshiped him who lives forever and ever. They cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created." Amen. Let's pray. Oh, Father God, just reading of this word gets us excited about what heaven would be like. It would be a glorious time of celebration. People from all over nations, different languages, cultures will be able to worship you in one voice. But Father God, as long as we're on this earth, Lord, we are torn because the world is trying to take us away from act of worship. Father, I pray that as we rediscover true meaning of worship, I pray that you would draw us closer to you. Take away anything that's hindering us from focus on you right now. May our hearts and mind be in tune with you. Be with me as I bring forth your word. Holy Spirit, I need you. Open the hearts of your people, and those that have ears may hear the word of God. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Right, be seated. You know, North Korea and other parts of the world, it is illegal to worship God. So many of them are worshiping God in secret. I remember hearing a testimony of one of the defendants, one person who came out of North Korea. And she was a Christian. And she said, I was a Christian while I was in North Korea. And people asked, how did you become a Christian in North Korea? And she said her grandmother was a Christian. If you know anything about Korean history, especially Christianity in Korea, missionary came to North Korea first through China. In fact, before the Korean War, before there was division, there was a great revival that happened. Many of the seminaries were located in North Korea. There was a great revival that has happened, and many Christians were there before the war. However, after the war, communism took over, Kim Il-sung and then Kim Jong-un, right? There was a son between, I forgot his name. Anyway, right? That regime just demolished all Christianity, so they thought. Parents taught their children the truth, and they began to worship God. And that lady began to talk about the way they worship God. They're not able to congregate like this. They are only able to congregate in small numbers. And when they gather together, they couldn't make any sound. They would just lip sing some of the songs, and they would quietly whisper the word of God. In the country of Saudi Arabia, it's a Muslim nation. Everybody has to be Muslim. Only people that can worship God are foreigners with special approval. If you're not a foreigner, if you are a citizen of Saudi Arabia, you have to be a Muslim. So how do they worship God if they're a Christian? As you know, Muslims face Mecca and they pray 5 times a day. In fact, there's a loud music that would come and play, and then you know that's the time where you bow down, you get your little mat and you put down and you pray before God. So what do Christians do? They follow that act. They face Mecca. They get down on their knees and pray. They might even utter the words in Arabic, but in their heart, they're worshiping God. In their heart, they're crying out to Jehovah, not Allah. My question to you this morning, do you think God will receive the worship that's happening in North Korea? What do you think? Do you think I will receive the worship of the people who are in Saudi Arabia, even though they're not able to worship God freely? The answer to that question is, of course, yes, yes. Why? Because God sees worship totally different than the way we present our worship to God. This is not worship. Worship begins from inside of us. It begins from our heart. Our outer appearance, expression of worship, does not bring glory to God unless we first worship in our heart. It is truly an inside experience. It is something that we do from our heart. So I've titled my series this concerning worship, Bring Back Worship. Bring back worship. Humanity have always worshipped something. It's something that we have done for a long time. Believers, we've been worshiping God from the creation. However, even within the church, the danger comes when we begin to worship something that is wrong, something that is not focused on God. Remember the story in the book of John chapter 4 when Jesus went and met a woman at the well, Samaritan woman. And she asked Jesus a question. Why? Because she didn't want to deal with a personal
issue. So she brought forth a theological issue. You Jews say we have to worship God in Jerusalem, but we cannot go there, so we worship God on this mountain. Which one is right? Jesus, knowing her intent to confuse and try to make commotion of this, Jesus says, woman, there'll come a time when either this mountain or temple, it doesn't matter where you worship. Why? Because God is looking for people who worship in the spirit and in truth. Spirit and in truth. So if we worship God in any other way, without the spirit and without the truth from our hearts, then we're not really worshiping God. In fact, we are committing idolatry. We're no different than those people, the Israelites in the wilderness. When Moses went up to Mount Sinai to talk with God, they created a golden calf. Remember that? And I'm awestruck of that story. Why? Because these are the people who actually saw the Red Sea parted. Can you imagine if you've seen a miracle of God, of Red Sea being parted, how in the world would you believe in a golden calf? These are the same people who ate the manna that fell from the sky. They saw the pillar of fire, pillar of cloud that led them and guided them. And yet, something happened. Something got a hold of them. And Moses' brother, dear brother, who is a priest, gathered all the gold and he melted the gold and created this golden calf. And people danced and worshipped, committed idolatry. If you are here this morning, if you're watching online, and if you consider worship to be just singing of songs, then our worship is very limited. When we worship music instead of God, then we are committing idolatry. I love praise team. I love the fact that we can sing in harmony, playing different instruments. But if our mind is focused on the music itself, then we're not worshiping God. You know, I study music and I enjoy music, but what happens is because I study music, I begin to analyze it. I begin to say, oh, Gian, he played the wrong chord right there. You know? I'm like, oh, man, the bass was a little too loud. Or, oh, man, Jay, come on. What am I doing? If I begin to think and speak in that terms, what am I doing? I'm missing my worship. So what I have to do, Chris was all right. He was good today. All right. I have to tell myself, this is time of worship. I'm not hearing music. Yes, I'm singing, but I'm not hearing. I don't care about correct notes. We have to practice hard so we don't make a mistake. But once you start worship, it's all about God, our attitude, our heart. If you come to church focused on me, a pastor, a preacher, then you're not worshiping God. Some people go to be entertained. Some people go to be touched by the Holy Spirit. Yes, we do. We want that in part of our worship. But worship is not about receiving something. In fact, if you want to receive something from God, go home and pray. Pray all you want in the privacy of your home. Turn on that music and pray and worship. Don't try to get that from church. Wait a minute, Pastor Sam, what are you talking about? A little bit confusing. Hope I can explain a little bit. You don't come to church because of a pastor. You don't come to church because of our praise team. We don't worship those things. What do? We come to worship God. In fact, if we worship anything else this morning but God, then once again, we are committing idolatry. Now, where can we find a good example, a proper example of worship? In the passage that we just read this morning. It's in the book of Revelation. It's a book that people are either very excited about studying. Oh, when are we going to study Book of Revelation? When are we going to study Book of Revelation? Or people stay away. Whoa, that's a little too complicated, right? It's too confusing. Let's not deal with Book of Revelation. Oh, all those things that we just read about, you know? Strange creatures with eyes all around. Head of a lion, right? Head of a bird, head of a man. What do they all mean? What do they symbolize? Hopefully, you know, sometimes we will have a series on Book of Revelation, and I'll kind of walk through these passages. But today's not the time. I'm not going to go in detail all the imageries that we read about. But one thing we notice right here in verse 2, it says, "At once I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne stood in heaven with one seated on the throne." Worship begins by focusing on that one seated on the throne. Who is this one that's sitting on the throne? That's God the Father. Our God, the Almighty God. Who is He? He's preeminent. He's the one who has the absolute authority. He has absolute power, absolute knowledge. In fact, there is none like Him. We often use words like God, He is our King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I think that's not good, because he's not just a King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We just use those words because we are limited in our language. We're just saying that he's better than any other kings. But no, he's not even a king. He's our Creator, Almighty God, right? There's nothing that can compare to our God. Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end, He is the Eternal One. You see, John is describing to us the image that he got when he was scooped up by the Spirit, and he began to have this vision of what the heaven's gonna be. But we have to understand he is limited in the vocabulary that he had. Right? Now, us, we're a little different because we watch a lot of movies. Right? All this CGI. We're accustomed to all these weird things, right? John is describing what he saw in that heaven. And what he saw was something amazing. Never did he see anything like it. We must focus on this person that we are worshiping. You see, true worship begins by knowing who we are worshiping. And true worship is in response to that person, to our God. We're not worshiping for God. We're not doing something for Him. We are doing something in response to what He has already done. Response to who God is. Thomas Aquinas, one of the great theologians, he says, Christians at first initially become Christian because they love themselves. What does he mean by that? We become Christian because we don't want to go to hell. We want to go to heaven. We become Christian because we want the blessing. Me, me, me. God, what can you do for me? Right? However, the deeper you get into your faith, the mature you become, you love God for who He is. You realize we don't deserve any of these things that God has given to us, but He gave to us freely. So we begin to worship Him for who He is. We love God, not for ourselves. We love God for who He is. Notice the words that shows us everything in heaven kind of corresponds and responds to who this person is sitting on that throne, the one that is on the throne. Verse 4 talks about the 24 thrones, 24 elders. Verse 5 talks about flash of lightning, rumbling, and peals of thunder. Continues by telling us the seven torches of fire, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne, verse 6, there was a sea of glass like crystal. Everything is in response to who this person that is sitting on the throne. Almighty God. We often emphasize how to worship, but before we learn how to worship, we have to realize who we are worshiping, the object, the subject of our worship. You know, all of our lives, we are worshiping something. Every day, we are worshiping something. The question is, what is at the center of our life? What is the object of our worship? Romans 1, 21 through 25, Paul says these words. Let me just read to you. Romans 1, 21 through 25. For although they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him. But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. Therefore, God gave them up in the lusts of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Paul begins by saying that they already knew God before they knew it, right? Adam and Eve knew God. Descendants of Noah knew God, but they turned away from God and they began to fulfill their own desires. And the sad verse is 24. He says, therefore God gave them up. God says, okay, if you want to be that way, I'll let you be. I was talking to one of the deacons on the KM side, and he says, he's like the fourth generation Christian, fourth generation. But the sad thing that he faces is that his children, or one of his child, is no longer a Christian. And it breaks his heart. And I asked him, where is he at? Well, he's got a good job. He's making good money. He's living a good life. But he just feels that he doesn't need God. In his words, he feels like he was brainwashed because he grew up in church. He never really had an opportunity. And he says, now I am truly free. I get to live my life doing what I want, not having to go to church. And he truly enjoys his life. See, it doesn't matter how many generations of Christianity that we have in our family. Individually, we have to make a decision. Are we going to believe and worship God, or are we going to follow the ways of the world? Unfortunately, that son has turned away from God. And the sad reality is most likely his children might not have the opportunity to come back to God. You see that? That's what happens. Individually, we have to seek God and we have to focus in our worship to Him. We are always worshiping something. And we're going to talk about that a little bit later on. But when we don't worship God, what happened? We are worshiping an idol. Worshiping an idol. Many people focus on how to worship, okay? Our church. Like I notice, you know, I'm like clapping up here. Nobody's really clapping. I don't think our church is a clapper. But maybe you grew up in a church where you clapped a lot, you know? Well, KCC, we don't clap. I don't know. I'm new here. Huh? Oh, do we raise our hand? I don't know. How do we worship God at our church, okay? Do we sing fast songs? Do we jump up and down? No? I don't know. And people are interested in how to worship God. But let me tell you, you know how to worship. Let me give you an example. You go to a football game. You're cheering for your team. OSU, okay. Right? Praise God, I don't have a college team that I follow. But anyway, you go there, you watch a football game. No one has to tell you how to celebrate. They don't give you a manual saying, this is how you celebrate once they score a touchdown. You just know. People get excited. People get antsy. I mean, tailgate parties. I mean, they prepare like, you know, days before the game day, right? Your hearts are pumping, you know, wow, yeah, this is an important game, you know. I hear, you know, even the KM members, they get excited about football, right? Like, oh, this is a very important game. We have to win this, right? You go to a K-pop concert. You know how to worship. Come on now, right? And the funny thing is, you know, some of the old ladies, they're like, oh, these young generation, what are they doing? They're crazy. They're yelling and screaming and they're throwing things on the stage. Have you ever seen a documentary of Beatles? Young ladies are fainting. As the Beatles are getting off a plane, girls are fainting. And these are the same people that are in their 80s now. 80s and 90s, right? These are the people that are fainting because they saw Beatles. Ah, they're screaming and screaming so loud that they're fainting. You see, human beings are the same. We're the same. Is there that excitement that comes over you when we worship God? Right? Or are we so modest? Or are we so cautious about what other people may think of me that, you know, I'm going to hold that in. Hold that in. We ought to be able to freely worship God. We know how to worship Him. We know how to praise. We know how to celebrate. What we must be aware of is that, who are we celebrating? Who are we worshiping? You see, God wants us to focus on Him. Now, Satan, you know what his objective is? His job is to distract us. And he's got millions of things on his list. And he knows what will entice every single one of us in this room. Right? Like K-pop music. I'm not really into K-pop music. I think they all look the same. I can't even tell the difference, right? It's like 17 guys in a group. Like, how in the world? Like, and the girls are even more crazy. They all got long, straight hairs, right? Look the same, right? Black. I mean, they have different colors of hair, but I mean, it's like, I can't tell them apart, right? It doesn't entice me, okay? I don't go crazy watching K-pop, right? But I have some girls that live with me. They go crazy. They know all their names. They listen to the song and say, oh, this is whose voice and this is whose voice. Really? Right? I know who my kids worship, right? Satan knows our weakness. Satan knows how to entice us. Some of us worship relationship. Boyfriends and girlfriends. That's so important to us. Right? When we don't have one, we feel like we're a loser. We need to find somebody. Our children could be our idol. They're center of our home, right? Oh yeah, my daughter, she went to this school. You know what my daughter does? She lives in New York and da-di-da-di-da. Right? Son, daughter. The trophy of a family. Maybe an item, I don't know, car, house, clothes, whatever it may be. Celebrity, or your work, your vision. I hope not, but maybe some of us are addicted to some substance. All these things take us away from God. So the question is, what does your life revolve around? Who is sitting at the throne? Because God cares about our heart more than what we do here on Sunday morning. Our reference continuing verse 6 through 8. It says, and before the throne there was, as it were, a sea of glasses like crystal. And around the throne, each side of the throne, four living creatures full of eyes in front and behind. The first living creature looked like a lion. The second living creature like an ox. Third, the face of a man. The fourth, eagle. And the four living creatures, each of them with six wings, are full of eyes all around. And within a day and night, they never cease to say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. You know, in Hebrew words, when they express, emphasize, express, they repeat. Why? Because they don't really have a capacity word. What does that mean? Like, for example, in English, right? Teachers, help me here. You say good, and good it becomes what? Better. And what's better than better? Best. You fail. Right? Better, best. good, better, best, right? We can describe it. But in Hebrew, you can't do it. So they have to say, holy, 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 right? I think kind of Korean words kind of like that, right? If it tastes really good, it's just, God, you just say it louder, that means it's really good, Korean word, right? Like if it's really far, you say, 저기, 저기, right? Like far, you just say it really long, that means it's really, really far, right? Hebrew words, holy, holy, holy. It's like a holy, holy, holiest, right? There's nothing holier, right? That's what it means. That's why it's like in music, going back to music, it's like a crescendo. You remember the crescendo? That crescendo, crescendo. It gets louder and louder and louder, and then fortissimo, right? The loudest. That's what it gets, right? And they're shouting this word day and night. It never sees them. You know what this reminds me of? God doesn't need us. God doesn't need to hear our worship. He doesn't. He's got these people there worshiping him 24/7, never ceases, because he is God. But he wants to hear us. He desires for us to worship him. Holy, holy, holy. He is the bestest God. You see, worship is my response to who God is, who is and is, who was and is to come. Another thing is, it's kind of gross, but these creatures have multiple eyes. Eyes in the front, eyes in the back, everywhere. Kind of gross. Once again, with CGI, we can kind of imagine, right, in our mind, which is great. Why do they have so many eyes? Why? Because God is everywhere. Yes, God is sitting on that throne, but he's not limited to that throne. He's omnipresent. Omnipresent. He's everywhere at every time. So all these eyes are focusing on God. They need all these eyes so that they could keep focusing on Almighty God. But you know what? You and I, we only have two eyes. And two eyes usually can't really see two things at the same time. Unless you're a chameleon. You know, right? Chameleon. That's so cool. When I go to the zoo, that's all I look at. I don't care about all the other animals. You can change colors. You can move his eyes around. It's awesome. Chameleon, right? But we don't. We have just two eyes, and these two eyes can only look at somebody, right? I was preaching on KM the other day, and I was talking about like losing weight, and I didn't want to offend anybody. You know, if I look at somebody and talking about losing weight, they might get offended. So I had to like look up on the ceiling. I said, you know, talking about, right? Because where I look, that's where my focus goes to. See, the Word of God is very clear. You need all these eyes to focus on God, but God only gave us two eyes. Why? Because He wants us to focus solely on Him. The problem is, we put our attention away from God. We begin to focus on other things. A couple years ago, there was a great commercial about Samsung TV commercial. These guys are like watching football and they're like dropping food, right? Because they don't want, they're so mesmerized by this 85, 8K, full color, wonderful TV. I find myself doing that every time I go to Costco. They have those TVs right in the front. So we come in, you know, my wife wants to hurry up and get to the clothes and food section. I'm like, wow, look at these. Look at the color. Oh my goodness. And I'm telling her, we need a new TV, but she never fails, you know, fall in. Right? We are mesmerized. That's what God wants us to do. Be mesmerized by who God is. Who God is. What do you focus on when you worship God? When you come to worship? Verse 9 through 11. Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who is sitting on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him who is sitting on the throne and worship Him who lives forever and ever. They cast their crowns before the throne saying, "Worthy are You, O Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created all things, and by Your will they existed and were created." Why is God worthy of praise? Not just because of who He is, but because of what He has done. He created us, and by His will, another way to say it is by His pleasure, we exist. We exist. He created us. Revelation chapter 5, verse 9 says these words concerning Jesus Christ. Why we need to worship Jesus Christ. It says, and they sang a new song saying, worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God. For every tribe and language and people and nation, and you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God. And they shall reign on the earth. Jesus is worthy to be praised and worshipped. Why? Because He came to save us. Because He died on the cross. The gospel message has to be proclaimed each and every day. Why do we worship God? Because of what He has done for us through His Son, Jesus Christ. He died for us. He paid for our sin. He has given us new life. We worship our Lord from inside out. Because He saved us from the inside out. So let's expand our definition of worship. Worship is my response to God for who He is and what He has done. We need to think about these things. When you sing, when you are sitting at home, whatever that we are doing, we ought to worship Him. And then interesting thing happened. These 24 elders, what are they wearing? Golden crown. And each of them would take up their crown and cast it before the Lord. That's the most valuable things that they have. And they are putting it down at the foot of their master. That's what offering is. Offering. Offering that you and I give. It's to God. It's to God. You know, I don't like to talk much about offering, but we ought to give God offering that He deserves. People come and ask me all the time, Pastor Sam, I know we should tithe. Do I tithe before tax or after tax? Right? You guys are working now, professionals. Should we tithe before tax or after tax? What is your answer? What do you think? What kind of answer should I give? Doesn't say in the Bible. How about stimulus check? Any of you guys stimulus check? Do we need to give tithes on that? Right? It's like, well, how about tax return? If you get any tax return, do I need to give tithes on that? Confusing, isn't it? The answer that I give that person is, okay, do you want God's blessing? Yes, of course, I want God's blessing. How much of God's blessing do you want? Do you want God to say, okay, He gave me $3.50 on Sunday, so I'm going to give Him a blessing of, all right, $5. I give Him a blessing of $5. Do you want our God to do that? No. In fact, when we want, what kind of blessing do we want? We want blessing pour over us, right, so that we could help other people. God bless me, right? So give as much as you can give. Don't be stingy. But at the same time, be cheerful giver. Be cheerful giver. Don't give grudgingly. Oh, I don't want to give and give. No. He wants us to give out of respect. And we can talk about offering later time. But let me tell you, I have never been short because I gave to God. I have never been short. And when you give, don't worry about where your money's going. Don't worry. You give to God. You trust God. And allow the church and the leaders to take care of it. Right? Because what you're saying is, I'm giving this to you. What you're saying is, it's my money that I'm giving. It's not your money. We're just stewards. God has given us every opportunity and ability to do your job so that you can earn a living. But He can also take it all away from you. Offering. Crown, we laid it down and we worship in the light of it. Now, if you are college student or grad student, working professional, and you're still giving a dollar on Sunday, then something's wrong with you, okay? If you spend more money at Starbucks than church, then you have to reconsider your giving. I don't know if I shared it with you, but my father, he was so strict. He would go to the bank on Saturday and ask for uncirculated bills. It's a brand new bill. And he says, don't touch it, wear a glove. And he would bring that and give that as an offering on Sunday. A little too much, okay? A little too much. But, you know, there's something that I learned out of the respect of God. That's what he would do. He didn't want to give God money that's been touched by other people. All right. Right? It's all about what we do for God. And he's going to honor that if it's genuine from our heart. Let's recap. Let us know the object, the subject that we are worshiping. Focus on who we are worshiping, who God is. And the foundation of worship is what he has done for us. Worship is our response to what God has already done for us. Our response of who he is. It's not something that we give to earn something back. No, it's just a response. And it all begins where? Not from outside, but from inside. That's why I like it when Jay said, let's spend some minute praying before we begin our worship. That is so vital. God, everything that's distracting me from worshiping you, help me to let go and help me to focus on you. Holy Spirit, I need you so that I could be focused in worshiping together as a corporate. But worship doesn't stop here, right? Worship happens 24/7 wherever you go. As long as your heart's in mind. Just like those people in North Korea, just like those people in Saudi Arabia, they're not able to freely worship God, but in their heart, you know what? They're always thinking about God. They're always meditating on God's word because that's all they got. And yet, you and I, we have so much that we are being distracted by God. Before I got up today, right here, before, my phone kind of gave me a notification. It says, I've used 8% less this week than last week on my phone usage. Praise God. Yeah. I still use a lot. I was still shocked, you know. Daily phone usage hours is still a lot. I don't know what I do with my phone, right? But, you know, I realize it's nowhere close to the amount of hours that I spend in the Word of God. Far more I spend on my phone than Word of God. And this is pastor speaking, right? We have to look and search ourselves and see if we are genuinely, honestly worshiping God from our hearts. Let us bow our heads this morning. With our head bowed, eyes closed. You know, this is a very important time at our church. We don't want just to be hearers of a word, but we want to make some decisions. What is Holy Spirit convicting you at the moment? Perhaps it's asking us to repent. There are other idols that, I mean, it's not a figure. It's not like a statue or God, but anything that's distracting us from God is an idol. I'm not saying that you can't enjoy sports, you can't enjoy relationship, you can't enjoy good food or fellowship. No. But if that becomes a focus of our lives, then there's a problem. So right now, with our eyes closed, head bowed, let's ask God to search our hearts. And if the Holy Spirit's rebuking you, convicting you, pray for those things. Revival doesn't happen unless there is repentance. And true repentance is turning away and coming back to the heart of worship, coming back to God. So could you just pray with me? Let's pray a minute or two in reflection of God's word. Let's pray together. Father God, we just pray, Lord Father, to the Holy Spirit, which is the Lord Jesus. This morning, Lord Father, it's the Lord Jesus. Each and every one of us, Lord Father God, that is the Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus, we want to truly worship you, Lord Father. That's what we're going to do in heaven, Lord Father God. Would you help us to realize this, Lord? Would you help us to know that all that we do, Lord Father God, is for your honor and your glory? So, Lord Father, I pray that you would search my heart. Whatever that we worship, Lord Father, whatever that we worship, take away those things, Lord Father. Help us to be mindful all throughout the day in our conversation, in our action, Lord Father God. Would you help us to listen to praises? You're ready, rise up and let's sing this song together when the music fades.
When the music fades, all is stripped away, and I simply come, knowing just to bring something that's a word that'll bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required.
You search much deeper within.
You search much deeper within. The waitings appear. You're looking into my heart.
Let's go.
I'm coming back to heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it, but it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus.
Let's sing the first verse again. When the music fades.
When the music fades, all is stripped away, and I simply come,
longing just to bring
something that's a word that will bless your heart.
Bring you more than a song.
I'll bring you more than a song. A song in itself is not what you have required.
You search much deeper within.
You search much deeper within. Through the way things appear, you're looking into my heart.
I'm coming back
to the heart. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about
I'm coming
you,
back,
Jesus.
I'm coming back.
I'm coming back to the heart of worship. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus.
I'm
about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you.
You're looking into my heart.
You're looking into my heart. You're looking into my heart.
That's right. God, you see us.
Looking into my heart.
Into my heart. One time, let's sing it together.
Looking into my heart. You're looking into my heart. You're looking into my heart.
Search us, Lord.
Search us, Lord. Search our heart. Search our heart.
So we declare, I'm coming back to you, Lord. I'm coming back to you, Lord. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, Lord. Oh, Jesus. You see us, you see right through us. You see what's inside of us, Lord. We repent before you, Lord. Heart of worship, let's sing together.
I'm coming back, heart of worship, and it's all about you. All about you, Jesus.
I'm sorry, Lord.
When it's all about you,
yes, Lord,
it's all about you,
Jesus.
I'm coming back,
heart
of worship. When it's all about you, all about you,
Jesus,
I'm sorry, Lord, thing I made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus.
Oh, Father God, thank you for the words that you have given to us, Lord. Something that we already know. We already know what we're supposed to do. But Father God, because we are in this world, sometimes we need reminders. We need to come back. We need to come back to that heart of worship. Father, I pray that during this week, would you keep our eyes focused on you? Would you remind us how much you love us? Would you remind us what you have already done for us through your Son, Jesus Christ? There's nothing more that we need, because you gave us everything that we need. Help us worship you in response to what has already been given, not desiring anything more, but out of gratitude and thanksgiving. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of the Father who sent His only begotten Son and the fellowship, protection, guidance, and the reminder of our Holy Spirit will be with all of us who are willing to worship you, who are willing to follow you, who desire to experience you each and every day, both here and forevermore. Amen. 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 Thank you, everyone, for joining us today. Have a blessed week.